Good morning, I'm Mike Greenberg in New York. Welcome to Get Up on this day after an historic verdict was reached in the murder trial of Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. We begin our program today with the reaction throughout the world of sports and beyond. After deliberating for more than 10 hours, a jury found Chauvin guilty on all three charges for his role in the murder of George Floyd last May. Chauvin pressed his knee on Floyd's neck and pinned him to the pavement for 9.5 minutes in a crime that was videotaped and subsequently seen by millions across the country and the world. Chauvin's bail was immediately revoked yesterday. He will be sentenced in 8 weeks. Floyd's death sparked protests throughout the U.S. and inspired a great many athletes to take action. Among those who spoke yesterday was Timberwolves star Karl Anthony Towns, whose team, after defeating Sacramento last night, dedicated the game ball to George Floyd's family.
It was a bittersweet moment that justice was served, but it was served at the cost of a life. It's unfortunate that our city has been going through this so much. But I hope that today was a step towards reform and a step towards just bringing this whole thing to an end for all the families involved.
We have a long way to go as a country. You know, obviously we have some progress being made in terms of conversations being had and justice being served. But we just still have a long way to go. So it's a great time to reflect and see how far we've come in the last year, you know, with the verdict and in the case and unfortunately losing a life, a few lives in the last year due to police brutality and just violence out in the streets. So, you know, we just want to continue to galvanize each other and be there for one another as human beings.
Justice was done, but it's hard to celebrate. It's hard to celebrate because it doesn't bring back George Floyd. And so we had somebody needlessly killed right in front of us, you know, right in front of all of us, because we could see it on video. And no verdict is going to change that. And so while it's just, it's hard to celebrate.
I'm happy for the Floyd family to have an opportunity to get some peace, some closure. We have a long way to go as a society. You know, we get one win and we lose. And, you know, sometimes the protesting just becomes, unfortunately, becomes kind of normal for us. And I think we have to change that. We have to change the way that we're policed in this country. We have to change our values and the things that that we cherish.
You know, it's never a time to celebrate, you know, when someone's killed. And, you know, my thought and prayers go, you know, to, you know, the Floyd family. And maybe this will help us heal. And, you know, we'll cease with the violence. So I'm just hoping that this sends us in a positive direction.
There was a great deal of reaction on Twitter from across the sports world as well. LeBron James tweeting the word accountability. Billie Jean King tweeted, "Today, justice was served for George Floyd. His loved ones can hopefully sleep easier. The time to collectively examine the treatment of black people, in particular black boys, men, by some law enforcement is long overdue. The path to healing must begin. Hashtag Black Lives Matter." Naomi Osaka offered the following, "I was going to make a celebratory tweet, but then I was hit with sadness because we are celebrating something that is clear as day. The fact that so many injustices occurred to make us hold our breath toward this outcome is really telling." And I bring the crew in this morning here, and among those who will join us today, Ryan Clark, Desmond Howard, Dan Graziano. Guys, thank you all for getting up. And Ryan, I'll start with you. Last summer, in the wake of George Floyd's murder and all of the events that followed, you and I had so many conversations on the show. And in some ways, that feels like yesterday. And in other ways, it feels like it was a different lifetime. And on so many occasions, we just asked you to speak from your heart, and you were so generous in being willing to do so. And I wanted to ask you to do the same today. As we saw the events of yesterday, what went through your mind?
I think, you know, I could just put myself back where I was. My stomach was in knots. I was sitting on the couch and just watching. And when I heard guilty, 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 I couldn't believe it. And then the judge goes to each juror individually. And I remember holding my breath, thinking, don't change your mind. Don't change your mind. See, because we've been conditioned as black people, as African Americans, that whether it's justice being served or justice being on our side or black people losing their lives being on the side of right. We've been conditioned to believe that there is no value on our lives. And whether it's 1955 and it's Emmett Till, whether it's 1992 and it's Rodney King or it's Trayvon Martin or it's Jacob Blake's shooter now is back at work or Breonna Taylor or Dante Wright, who just loses his life while we are trying to figure out if Derek Chauvin will be convicted of murder, that's what black people remember. And there were so many tears. I was on my couch crying, and it wasn't tears of joy, because it doesn't get to be tears of joy when you lose another person. Unlike Nancy Pelosi said, George Floyd didn't give his life. George Floyd didn't decide to be a martyr. George Floyd was murdered. He was killed, and he was killed nonchalantly. For 9 minutes and 30 seconds, a man put his knee on another man's neck who is bigger than him, who was probably tougher than him, who had been through more than him. And as he called for his mother, who was not there, he never once thought, let me value this person's life. So what the jurors did that we will now celebrate, that people will say that they were so heroic and the things that they did were so great because they were just, because they made the right decision, because they did the thing that America elected them and selected them to do, they are now heroes because we aren't used to seeing it. We had to sit around and we had to be grateful. We had to cry tears of relief, not tears of joy, because finally, somebody finally said, 12 people finally said that black lives actually matter, that at least this one black life was taken and we will hold somebody accountable. This is just the start, though. This is not the finish. This is not where we need to be. This doesn't mean that America is healed. This is just the start to healing. Maybe now cops will know they don't get to just take our lives and it's okay. And maybe when yesterday comes and my daughter gets pulled over for doing something and my wife is crying on the phone and we're on FaceTime and she's asking the police officer, just please take care of my child. Tell me how I will see my child again. And that's all. And I'm not crying because my daughter's in the car crying. I'm crying because my wife is at the house crying because she is in fear that she will never see her again. That's black people. That's who we deal with every day. So for one day, we got relief. We got justice. We don't get to celebrate. This is not an opportunity to say how great it is, how great America is. America is not great again because it's never been great for us anyway. But I am grateful to those jurors. I'm grateful to the state of Minnesota for handling this in the way that they were supposed to. Please remember, they did nothing special. But justice will serve for one day and for George Floyd and his family.
Thank you for saying that, R.C. Desmond, again, you have been with us through so much of this as well. I think our audience would just like to hear what thoughts you have today.
Well, first, I'd like to thank R.C. for sharing his thoughts and opening his heart to us, because that was, exactly what I was thinking, how I felt. But yesterday, R.C., when I got the news, the first thing I did was I called my father. And he actually was out walking, so he hadn't heard the news. And I told him what had taken place. And I can just hear in his voice, something that I never heard before. And as a son whose dad is everything to him, that meant a lot. It just meant a lot. But I immediately turned to BBC, because I always turn to BBC when something happens, because I like to get the viewpoint of people outside of our country and see how they're looking at us. What type of lens are they looking at us through? And it took me back, R.C. and Greeny, to last summer when we discussed this. And This was global. This sparked a global reaction. And so I always felt like they couldn't get this one wrong. I mean, there were protests from Oakland to Iceland, from Brazil to Belgium, New Zealand, countries in Africa. I mean, I saw a house that was pretty much demolished, except a wall was still standing in Syria. And they had a picture of George Floyd on the wall with his last words, "I can't breathe." So I'm telling you this to let you know, this was always so much bigger than what happened in our borders. And the whole world was watching this one. So I always felt
They can't get this one wrong. They can't, because this one hits completely different. Now, obviously, as a part of the human family, the brown part of that spectrum, we're used to getting the verdict of not guilty, you know? And so you hope for justice, but you prepare for the opposite. So when I got those, the verdict and guilty, 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 though I was hoping for the justice, because that is justice, I was preparing for the opposite. And so this is a small step, because shortly after that, my wife came into the room and said, a 15-year-old black girl just got shot four times in her chest by a white cop in Columbus. So it was short-lived for me. I don't know all the details behind that, but I still have to believe, because I know a lot of law enforcement officers, just like you do, Greeny, just like you do, RC. And you know that, that you always want that to be the last line of defense when you're faced with a teenager, especially a teenage girl, a female. Is that all you could do? Was that the extent of whatever was happening at that moment that you had to put four in her chest? So without knowing all the details involved, you just hope and wish that they could police our communities a little bit differently, with a little bit less aggression, especially when it comes to our children.
Thank you, Des. And Dan Graziano, I saw some notes from you last night with some reaction from around the world of sports and more as well. Go ahead, Dan.
Look, I mean, in my experience, obviously vastly different, and I recognize that from my friends RC and Desmond, who have to have conversations with their kids about traffic stops that I never have to have. And I'm appreciative of that. In my house, I'm watching it with my two teenage sons, who I'm trying to raise to be good men and to understand right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's been a rough go on that front the past year, past few years. They're turning cynical about the world that my generation is leaving to them. And as we watch this come in, you know, Desmond, you're right. You felt like, well, they can't get this one wrong, but you also felt like, well, what if they do? Like what do we mm-hmm. what do you say then to two teenage boys that you're trying to tell right from wrong when wrong would happen again? So relief was the word, RC, that resonated with me. I felt relieved. Yeah. They obviously felt incredibly relieved. They were shocked. And I honestly don't know what I would have said to them if it had gone a different way. So as a parent of two boys that I'm trying to make sure go into the world and handle it responsibly, more responsibly than a lot of people currently are, I was relieved to finally be able to tell them, yes, look, there is right and there is wrong, and sometimes we can believe that people who do wrong will be punished for it and held accountable.
It's very well said. Guys, thank you all very much for being willing to be this open and honest and this raw in things that I understand are more personal than perhaps I could ever fully appreciate. So let's leave it there for the moment. Let's take a break. There's a lot of news from the world of sports that we will get to in a moment. The draft is coming up. We had basketball games last night. We'll get to all of that in just a moment. Thanks very much for starting your day with us. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Whole Foods, sourced for good from Whole Foods Market, supporting workers, communities, and the environment. All right, we are 8 days away from the NFL draft. And yesterday, Adam Schefter tweeted the following about the Carolina Panthers, saying they have had conversations with other teams about potentially trading back in the draft from pick number 8. There are all sorts of ongoing trade conversations between teams. Let's see what next week brings. At the risk of being presumptuous, that sounds like a spot someone would be going up to get a quarterback. And so, Dan Graziano, my insider extraordinaire, can you pick it up from there?
Yeah, that's the most fun, right? Like, we don't want to talk about, like, the Bucks went up one spot last year to get a tackle. If someone's going up to 8, we want it to be for one of the quarterbacks that didn't go in the top 3. And hopefully, we see some that kind of action. Look, when we look with Carolina, a couple of weeks ago, we would have said Carolina at 8 is in play to either draft a quarterback or move up for one. But then they make the trade for Sam Darnold. So now maybe they feel like they're set, or the quarterback of their dreams isn't going to fall to them. So if you're sitting there at 8 and, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson and Mac Jones and Justin Fields are all gone, then somebody who's sitting there at 9 like the Broncos or 15 like the Patriots or 19 like Washington or 20 like the Bears might look at Trey Lance and go, we got to do whatever we can to get it. And if that's the case and you're Carolina, you have to listen. That could be a great trade. It could be worth more than, much more than that pick. And if that's the case, you have to make that assessment and make the right decision for your franchise. So yes, Carolina, and as Adam pointed out, many other teams are going to be getting those kinds of calls and are going to have to consider them as we see the top of that draft unfold with regard to those quarterbacks.
All right, and our favorite Patriot has gotten up with us as well this morning, and that's Rob Ninkovich. And so, Ninko, I'll come to you because the idea of New England being the team that goes up there to get him is sort of fun to consider. It's been an awful long – well, actually, Belichick has never done anything like that. What do you think he should do?
I think he should move up. I think they should go up in the draft, go get a quarterback. Every radio station in New England, that's all they're talking about is, are they going to move up? Are they going to get a quarterback? And they need to get a quarterback. If they do not address the quarterback issue, they're going to have another tough year. They're going to be average if they go with Cam Newton. So I expect them to move up. It's been an unprecedented, weird offseason for them anyway. We've never seen the Patriots go out and spend the money that they have in free agency. And if they don't get a quarterback, they're not answering any of the questions of their future at that position. So we were all asking, what are they going to do after Tom Brady? They go to Cam Newton last year. They sign him for a one-year deal. They sign him to another one-year deal. They don't have anything going forward after this season anyway. So I would expect them to try and address that position, go get a quarterback, go do something crazy. Don't move back in the draft like they do every year. Move up in the draft. Go get a young quarterback, maybe somebody that's athletic that looks like a modern 2021 quarterback. And you team him up with Cam Newton, gives other defenses a lot of challenges trying to prepare for that. And you know Bill loves that stuff, trying to mess with the other team's heads. So, you know, I just think that that would probably be the best for them and their organization to go move up in the draft, get a quarterback. And I tell you what, the fan base would be excited about it, too.
That's the one thing Bill never seems that concerned about is what other people are excited about. That doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. RC, what do you think?
Listen, this is 2021, Greeny. This is YOLO, bro. Listen, you only live once, Greeny. Go keep living, Bill Belichick. This is not the time to be responsible. This is not the time to worry about pensions and 401ks. No, we are talking about getting your check, taking it to the gas station, cashing it, and going to Vegas. That's the way we want to live right now. So if you are Bill Belichick, you've totally gone out of your mind in free agency. You pinpointed guys and you went out and you got them on the first day. You got them because you needed them. And the fact that we are even having this discussion tells you where the New England Patriots are as an organization. For 20 years, you dominated. Bill Belichick, you're about to be 70. Move up in the draft and go get a guy, unless it's Mac Jones. If it's Mac Jones, don't move up the draft and go get a guy. If it's one of them other dudes, then you move up in the draft and you go get that
guy. Poor Mac.
That's what you need to do. Bill Belichick, you need to keep living. We don't want to see you in that sad kitchen again with that little sad dog. We want to see you at the draft in a lime green shiny suit with a pimp hat, a cane, and some gator boots, and you move up and you get you a quarterback, son. It's time. Don't listen to Nico. Listen to me. He's a real patriot. I'm not. We do unpatriot-like things, which might be stupid to the rest of the world, but it's time to get a little stupid, Bill. Tommy Wendt got him a Super Bowl in Tampa without you.
And remarkably, the two of you actually have the exact same perspective of what they should do. At some point this morning, I'll point out that the quarterback Bill wants is Jimmy Garoppolo, and he'll figure out a way to get him for a lot less than it would cost to move up seven spots in the draft. We will get to that. But right now, to the game of the night from the NBA, and it was a good one, and there were stars on display. Nets, Pelicans, James Harden, not among them. Still suffering, has a setback with his hamstring. But Kyrie Irving is out there, and so is Zion. And Zion has been phenomenal lately. Watch this. Final second of the third quarter. Little bully ball, and he puts it up and good. Go to the fourth in a close game. Pelicans down four. Zion not backing down. You think he can only go left? Well, you're wrong. Watch him going with the right hand strong to the hole. He would score 33. It's a two-point game. Under a minute to go. Same score. Kyrie. Is the ball attached to his hand? That's the question. Does anyone have handles like that man's handles? He would score 32 points. Here comes the big bucket to seal it. 31 seconds left. Kyrie almost loses it. No, he doesn't. Then he's up and he's good. The Nets go on to win it 134-129 as they continue to get it done without two members of their big three. The Nets keep on winning. They have a winning record when all three of them play, when two of them play, and when one of them plays. Brooklyn is 2-2 when Kyrie plays without Harden and KD. Again, if that team is healthy, when they get to the playoffs, they're the team to beat. Meanwhile, as we get closer to the draft, are we getting a clearer picture of San Francisco's plans at number three? And are they about to make an enormous mistake? We'll answer that. Plus, everyone knows the Cowboys need to draft defense, so why wouldn't they? RC's got a scenario that could make Jerry think twice. That's on the way. Get up on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are back on Get Up, and according to Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill, Justin Fields remains the favorite to go number three in this draft to San Francisco. Last night, our Chris Mortensen told us what he's hearing.
What I am hearing is that this is Mac Jones, and it's in the 90th percentile in terms of likely to be picked there when they made that trade from 12 to 3. That was the pick. But there was a 10% margin there, and I trying to sort out, well, who's got the advantage between Trey Lance and Justin Fields on that remaining percentage? I was told Trey Lance probably over Justin Fields. But this Mac Jones, right now, you would have to put your money down. I know Vegas says differently, that it will be Mac Jones.
Well, this just is the story that will not go away. The certainty or lack thereof involved in this situation, I'm trying to decide if, okay, I was trying to decide if your shot had frozen or you're just sitting there with your eyes closed like that. I have to come to you first. I was going to ask Dan what he's hearing, but RC, I have to come to you because I genuinely thought your shot was frozen for a second. Now I see you're just exasperated.
You know, Greeny, I've sat at home. I had 2 weeks off, so I just get to watch the shows, right? I get to watch Get Up, and I get to see all the reports of Mac Jones going at three. And I remember I was so excited when the 49ers moved up because I was like, oh my gosh,
They know Zach Wilson's going too. We obviously all knew Trevor Lawrence was going number one. I was like, they are moving up to get freaking Justin Fields. This is going to be amazing. Kyle Shanahan, the motion of that offense, the boot, the run pass option. And then people keep saying Mac Jones. This is not the Ryan Clark wants to bash Mac Jones. I believe that Mac Jones can be a good quarterback. I just want you to tell me what quarterback that plays like Mac Jones, that's built like Mac Jones, that has the type of measurables that Mac Jones has been drafted recently, and that's very good. Now look at the dudes that can move. Look at the dudes that can create. Look at the dudes that cause problems athletically. Those are the people that are taking over this league. If you ain't 35, right, and you don't have that wisdom and that experience, you cannot be a, nope, take that back. If you ain't 43, you cannot be a statue in the pocket and be successful now. Which means, if you ain't Tom Brady, you ain't supposed to go in the top five if you play like Mac Jones. So the fact that Mort can say it is 90% is crazy to me. When you make this move, Greeny, when the Prince on Cinderella, right, when he had the ball and he danced with Cinderella, he was not looking for another chick that could almost fit the shoe, Greeny. He wanted the shoe to fit her because she was the one. Mac Jones ain't the one. You don't do all that. You don't ride around the city to find a girl who wear 8.5 when the glass shoe is 8. Mac Jones ain't the third R- pick. That's R- where R- I stand. If the 49ers do it, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
RC.
Go ahead, Dad.
RC, listen, you've been at home watching it. I've been a participant of this madness for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And you talk about the shoe. I'm telling these people, like, you gotta understand, if Mac Jones is the guy, say you're a bachelor, you watch The Bachelor, if you have the guy, the girl, and you have your ring, and you purchase the ring, you're going to give it to that girl. If you're locked into that girl and she's the one. If you entertain any other females, then you're not locked into her. She is not the one. You're not going to give her that ring. I've been trying to tell all of these analysts on Get Up That for the past 2 weeks. I said, Justin Fields is in play. Don't believe what you hear. Believe what you see. Kyle Shanahan doesn't have any free time to just be flying across the country just to appease somebody to check a box.
What else are you going to do, Dennis?
Justin Fields in Columbus. If he was going to give the ring to Mac Jones, he's not going to entertain any other women in this situation. No, he's entertaining these other players because they're in play. Because they gave up so much, RC, you will have to assume that Justin Fields is their likely pick.
So this is another analogy we've made here. We've had restaurant dishes. We've had a million different analogies. Yeah. They all work. Here's the question I have for you then, RC. And Dan, I'm coming to you in a minute on the information piece of this. But RC, just in principle, the idea of trading up and giving up as much as they did without having certainty of who you want, would you have an issue with that? If they went up there and did not have a certainty of who you would.
Absolutely, Greeny. When you make that move, when you understand who the top two picks are going to be, and you make that move to number three, you make that move knowing that you have your guy. You've had an opportunity to look at all the film. You've seen 2019. You've seen 2020. You know who that dude is. Who fits perfectly for you? Whose ceiling is the highest? Who can win the San Francisco 49ers the Super Bowl? I feel like everything that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan has done has been to build the perfect team, been to build the team that is in the likeness and the image of Kyle Shanahan. You know what completes that team? Justin Fields. Justin Fields completes that team. And so if you are moving up and you are like Desmond said, you came with 20 roses and you don't know who you want to give the one particular rose to, then you have made a mistake and you're setting your organization up for failure.
Let me then go to Graziano in all of this, because at the end of the day, Vegas thinks what it thinks and we all think what we think.
Well,
but the only one person's opinion matters on this at the end of the day, and that's Kyle Shanahan. So what are we hearing about that, Dan?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, look, those Vegas odds you put up at the beginning, like, I'd like Lance at that price. I know we're not a gambling show, but that seems to be the best bang for your buck. Look, Kyle Shanahan will make the decision. I don't agree with RC that he had to know who it was when he made the deal. Kyle Shanahan believes he can make pretty much anybody a successful quarterback. Nick Mullins, in 16 career starts, has 4,700 yards and 25 touchdowns, right? He was undrafted. So you look at the people who have the talent of the people we're talking about. Kyle Shanahan, I think, believes he could win with any of the three, and he just has to figure out which one is the best. My understanding, as recently as Monday when we were talking about this on this show, was that no decision had been reached, that there was still a discussion going on in the 49ers building. And I think Mort's reporting reflects that. It may be that Mac Jones was the guy they had in mind when they made the trade. And certainly what you hear when you talk to people close to this situation and around this situation is Mac Jones, Mac Jones, Mac Jones. But I've also been told, as again, as recently as 48 hours ago, that no final decision had been made. And there's a lot that points, I know everybody likes Justin Fields, and I do too. There's a lot that points to Trey Lance as a guy that could be the 49ers pick that fits more with what they do in terms of his experience under center and play action and all that kind of stuff you like to see in a Kyle Shanahan offense. I go back to December when Josh Allen and the Bills beat Kyle Shanahan's 49ers, and Kyle said all kinds of great stuff before and after that game about what a quarterback like that with that kind of athletic ability offers an offense. And I keep thinking about Trey Lance when I think about those comments.
Me too. Look, we're all over the board now because I've been saying all along I think Lance is the
right guy. We got all
three. We will find out. We'll leave it there for the moment. I want to get to other things, but we will come back to this. Let's get to how about them Cowboys? Dallas with the 10th pick in this draft. The big question heading in here is what will they do? The expectation, of course, is they will go defense because their defense was just horrendous last year. But here was Stephen Jones on 105.3 The Fan yesterday saying the team's options are relatively open.
Certainly that's one of the goals in this draft is to improve defensively. And then, as you said, if the right guy presents himself, not unlike CD did last year, sometimes you just got to be in a situation where if he's by far the best player left on the board, then you've got to have confidence that you can make that selection.
So, in the absence of knowing exactly who the right guy is he's talking about, let me come to you, RC, on this. If you're making that pick for the Dallas Cowboys, what exactly are you doing?
I'm staying at 10, and I'm drafting J.C. Horn. You understand offensively you have all the skill pieces that you need to be successful. If you watch the film, if you watch the pro day, if you've really gone back and done your study on J.C. Horn, he's a guy who can obviously match up with very big receivers. We saw that against Seth Williams and Bo Nix when they played Auburn, but he's also a dude that can get in and out of cuts. When you look at some of the wide receivers that he's faced in the SEC, those that can get in and out of breaks, those that have the downfield speed, J.C. Horn has shed a lot of those guys down, and he's the consummate competitor. That's the type of dude they need. You now have Joe Witt, who is a great defensive back coach. He's coached Charles Woodson. He's coached Tremont Williams. He's been a guy who's been around great secondaries. That's who's there now. Get him another piece to add to Diggs on the other side, and you now have your corners for the next decade if you're the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, if you don't know J.C. Horn, he's from South Carolina. His father was the longtime NFL receiver, Joe Horn. Most of the mocks that we've seen, RC, have them taking Patrick Surtain the second, another corner from Alabama, in this case, not J.C. Horn. What do you think, Dez?
You know, Greeny, I was going to ask RC because I know RC works with these DBs. He's worked with a lot of them. And I wanted to ask him if he had Horn rated higher than Surtain, because I would have said Surtain, and I'm still sticking with Surtain. I mean, obviously, you know, he has a high grade. I just wanted to know because I trust RC's opinion. I know he's done a lot of work with these guys. He's seen them up close and personal. Which one do you have ranked higher and why?
I have J.C. Horn by an edge. I feel like Pat Surtain is close to what Aqib Talib is, but he's a dude I feel you're going to have to match up. He also hasn't necessarily shown the playmaking ability that I've seen from J.C. Horn. Now, I think that Pat Surtain will be a star. I just like J.C. Horn's versatility a little bit more than I like Patrick Surtain Jr.
Yeah, those two and Caleb Farley.
Yeah, see, I like Patrick Surtain because I like his size. I like his athleticism. And I think that when you play in the Nick Saban defense, he throws a lot at you. So I think mentally, Patrick Surtain will be able to handle anything that the coordinator, that Dan Quinn, is going to throw at him in Dallas. He'll be prepared for it mentally, because I think that's when you start to separate some of these players. What can they handle on the field mentally from the, and take it from the classroom to the football field and execute it?
To the field.
But I guess you're good with either Horn or with Surtain.
Yeah, so Tam's been on the field forever. He started 12 games as a freshman. Ninko, what do you think the Cowboys should do?
Just like what RC said, stick to defense, stay at number 10. Look, if you go and try and move up, I mean, really, honestly, look at their offense. They just paid their quarterback. They got a running back that's paid. Their offensive line is paid. Their receivers are paid. They got a bunch of pieces offensively. Mm-hmm. And then you look at, if you look at the big board on that team right now, Dallas's team, what are the holes? They need help in corner. They need help at the pass rush position. They need to stop people defensively. Doesn't matter how great your offense is. If your defense can't stop a nosebleed, you're going to be in for a long night. So for me, as a defensive football player, I can tell you this, rush and coverage, those two things in 2021, you got to be able to cover and you got to be able to get to the quarterback. If you can't get to the quarterback, it doesn't matter how great your coverage is, they're going to complete passes because it's really hard to cover past 3-1000, 4-1000. The ball's out, the guys are going to get open, they're going to uncover. So I would say at number 10, either go with a corner or try and get somebody in the draft that can get after the quarterback and you can add to the front that helps your secondary.
Yeah, if it's rush and coverage, the top of this draft is much more about the coverage than it is about the rush. Candidly, there probably isn't a pass rusher that wouldn't feel like a reach at number 10, and all these corners would feel like good picks. All right, we'll see what they do. Meanwhile, let's run the bases. A lot of action in the majors yesterday begins with the star. Shohei Ohtani became the first starting pitcher since at least 1901 to throw four shutout innings with at least six walks and seven strikeouts. What a night. Mike Trout also hit his fifth home run of the year, lifting the Angels over the Rangers by a score of 6-2. Elsewhere, Julio Urias threw seven dominant innings of one-hit ball, striking out a career-high 11, leading the Dodgers to a 1-0 win, avenging their loss from the day before. Corey Seager with a two-out single to score the only run of the game. And the Yankees ended their losing streak in unusual fashion against Atlanta. Braves reliever Nate Jones threw a tie-breaking wild pitch in the eighth. Yanks a 3-1 win stopped a five-game losing streak. And tonight at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN, we will have game two of that series. Braves and Yankees, the action comes your way. Again, 6:30 Eastern on ESPN, and you can watch live on the ESPN app. Coming up, is it time for the Steelers to draft Big Ben's replacement? Our former Steeler will tell you exactly what they should do next. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back on Get Up, but let's tell teams what they should do in the draft. Dan Graziano, the Bears are picking at number 20. What should they do?
Well, they should find their franchise quarterback of the future, but I'm not sure that from 20 they can get up to where they need to do that. So if one of the guys they like slides back into that 8, 9, 10 range, maybe they make a move. Of course, they'll be competing with Washington and others to do the same thing. But if they stay put at 20, you could see an offensive tackle or a wide receiver, but I think defense more likely. Keep an eye on Nick Bolton, the linebacker from Missouri, as a long-term play there.
Next up is Rob. Rob, what should the Panthers do at number 8?
They should stay at number 8. Go get somebody offensively, like an offensive tackle or a Kyle Pitts, somebody that could make a lot of plays for your offense that helps out a new quarterback if Sam Darnold comes to a new city. The only way that that team is going to improve is if number 1 offensively they can go out there and be consistent and score points. So I think go out there, help your offense out, stay at number 8.
Kyle Pitts would be remarkable there. The tackle's more likely. RC, the former Steeler, what should the Steelers do in this draft?
Listen, you know, being at 24 is a weird position, but Tevin Jenkins, the offensive lineman from Oklahoma State, could be there. Jalen Mayfield from Michigan. And if you just can't resist, I guess you look at Najee Harris, but there are so many backs in this draft that you could get later on. Get protection, get you a mauler, get some physicality up front to not only protect Big Ben, but to become the running football team that we know brings championships to Sixburg.
Well, so let me sit on that one for a moment, RC, and sort of reshape the question here, which is to say that clearly the end of the Ben Roethlisberger era is coming soon, whether this is the final season or not. Do you believe they need to address the quarterback situation one way or another in this draft?
Greeny, you know, that's an interesting question. I mean, you brought up the fact that Mike Tomlin just signed an extension yesterday, and the fact that that could be the thing that holds them together, the duct tape or the glue, as Ben Roethlisberger leaves. Now, you've already went out and got Dwayne Haskins. If you feel like this is a guy that you can groom, someone who can sit behind Ben Roethlisberger and maybe mature off the field, and then you watch him mature on the field, maybe that's something you look at throughout the 2021 season. But if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know you're not going to get one of the guys. But is it a Kyle Trask somewhere in the second round? Is it a Kellen Mond somewhere in the second to third round that you feel like you can get, have on the roster and continue to watch those guys grow? I believe Joshua Dobbs just re-signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so even with all of those people there, do you truly have your quarterback of the future? And if you don't, can you do something to get him in this draft? That's what Kevin Colbert, the Pittsburgh Steelers GM, is going to have to weigh heavily and balance out on draft day.
It's interesting. I think sometimes we do overlook the fact that they have Haskins, who 2 years ago this week was a first-round pick in the NFL draft. So it's awfully quickly to have decided that there's just absolutely no hope there. That said, Dan Graziano, what are you hearing?
I think they probably will look to address quarterback at some point in the draft, but probably not early. RC's idea about offensive line help in the first round makes a ton of sense. When you look at the Steelers and their history, their center just retired. The center's not a real exciting first-round pick, but the Steelers really prioritize that position. The Steelers centers go to the Hall of Fame. When you look at their history, that position, it matters a lot.
Yes, they
people
do.
People want to put a running back there. If you're Pittsburgh, I think you see the center position is more important to the run game than the running back is. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see them go that way, or offensive tackle in the first round, maybe think about finding that running back in the second or third. And then as the draft goes along, you know, do something kind of like they did with Mason Rudolph a few years ago if they find a guy they like. Rudolph's in his last year of his contract, so they may be looking for another guy like that to kind of take a long-term flyer on.
There actually is a center in this draft who is talented enough to be a first-round pick, and that's Landon Dickerson from Alabama, who transferred from Florida State. But there's enormous injury history there, which I think will probably mean he drops out of round one. Rob Ninkovich, as you look at the Steelers, a team with a lot of needs, where would you go if you were in their shoes?
Well, what's the most important thing about protecting an older quarterback? And that's up front. That's having an offensive line that's solid to where that guy's not being hit. You know, you see what the Patriots have gone through with the transition. Tom Brady, in his last year with the Patriots, if he was on the turf too much, that was a problem for the team. So just like the Steelers, if Big Ben is under pressure, he's not getting out of the way. He's not going to avoid pressure by using his feet. So the most important thing for the Steelers is to shore up that offensive line to protect Big Ben, because he is a little bit older. We all know he's at the end of his career here. So the most important thing for the Steelers, keep him upright, keep him protected, because that goes a long way when it comes to confidence, when your quarterback knows, look, I'm not going to be hitting the turf a ton of times in this game here. Let me just evaluate what's open and make the best decision. So I would say number one priority, keeping Ben upright.
Sorry, I'm going to make a quick prediction here. If we could take that one shot of Rob Ninkovich again. My prediction, Ninko, is that you never sacked Ben Roethlisberger, because if you had, there'd be a picture of him behind you at some point here. You've had all these different quarterbacks. Am I correct? Did you ever, get to Big Ben? Because I feel like there'd be a picture of that behind you right now if you had.
You want me to go get it? Because I think I had a sack fumble, a forced turnover. We scored.
Yes,
we
I do.
Yeah, I can go get that one. I just got to go into the filing cabinet, because there's a few. You know what I'm saying?
I would like to see it.
No,
yes.
I did get Big Ben. Funny story about Big Ben. When I wrapped him up for the first time I ever sacked Big Ben, I said, oh, my gosh, this guy's heavier than me. It was the first time I ever got to a quarterback where I was, like, questioning myself. Can I actually get this guy down on the ground? Because his midsection is a little round, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. All right, that is very well done. Yes, we want to see those pictures in the next hour and 7 minutes for sure. Meanwhile, let's run the floor through some of the NBA action from last night. Oh, break up the Knicks. They are red hot. R.J. Barrett scored 18 of his 24 in the third. The Knicks beat the Hornets by a dozen. It's their seventh straight win. They're now fifth in the Eastern Conference standings. That Tom Thibodeau, our former teammate here at Get Up, that man can coach. Elsewhere, the Hawks held the They right now hold the fourth seed in the East, and they won again last night behind 25 points from Trae Young, knocking off Orlando 112-96. Since the beginning of March, the Hawks actually have been the best team in the East. They're 18-6 in that stretch. Out West, playing without Kawhi Leonard, it was up to Paul George to lead the Clippers, and he did with 33 points, including a couple foul shots in the final 5 seconds that gave the Clippers a one-point win over the Blazers, who were playing without Damian Lillard. And we invite you to tip off your weekend with our NBA Friday doubleheader on ESPN and the ESPN app. Boston is hot, won 6 straight, taking on Kyrie and the Nets, then Steph Curry. Right now, the NBA's must-watch player. He and the Warriors hosting Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. That's coming your way Friday night on ESPN, and all the action, as always, is on the ESPN app. Damn it up, Cam is the man in New England right now. But with another top 10 pick up for sale, is it time for Belichick to make a trade and move up? We'll ask that question as we continue, and we will see just what it is Rob Ninkovich is able to dig up. Does he have a picture of himself sacking Ben Roethlisberger? You'll find out.